for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Summer Family and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, July the 4th, 2014. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on feeding demons.
Well, I want to talk to you tonight about feeding demons. And I hope this is not controversial. If it is, you have to tell God about it. But it's what He's given me. Lord, we ask for Your help, Your blessing tonight, that You care about everyone in here, Father. Care about every child in here, every adult in here. God, You care about our lives and where we're going with our lives, and You care about eternity. And God, it's a very high responsibility, Father, awesome responsibility to stand here, Father, and tell the truth. My God, because souls depend on it. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember hearing B.H. Clendon say that one night a couple in his church invited him over on Saturday night, and they were there, and it came 9 o'clock. He said, "Now, Brother Clinton, Pastor, I have to watch Gunsmoke. It's 30 minutes long, black and white, you know, nobody really got killed." But he said, "I have to," and it didn't really hit, you know, but it was corny now if you watch that, but he said, "I have to watch that. And so you just excuse me." So they watched it on the way home. He said, God dealt with him. He said, "Tomorrow you're going to stand and deal with men's souls, eternal souls, and you're watching that on Saturday night." Now, how does that make you feel? Isn't it amazing people can get up from watching awful stuff now and go right to the house of God and wonder why God's not pouring out His blessings and the Spirit of God's not living? Feeding demons. Now, I'm preaching this because the Holy Spirit ministered this to me first. In fact, I'm just telling you, I sinned, and the Holy Spirit corrected me, and He told me I was feeding demons by what I did. You can be a preacher and feed demons.
Yes.
You can be anything and feed demons. 2 Corinthians 9:10, now He, that's the Holy Spirit, that ministers seed to the sower. Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I stand on that verse. I send out 5 emails a week. It's not easy. I preach usually 3 times a week. In fact, at one time I had 2 churches and preaching 5 times a week. If God didn't give it to me, I didn't have it. He gives seed to the sower. And not only does He do that, He provides food or bread for the sower. So it's a wonderful promise. If you'll serve God, you're not going to starve. This scripture here is speaking of the food of righteousness that God provides. It's food for the body and the spirit. In both are mentioned here, seed to the sower that He ministers, and then food for His table. So we have food for the spirit and food for the body. And that's for His righteous saints. Now, demons also need to be fed, but not physical food, because demons are spirits, and they don't eat physical food like we need, our body needs. Sometimes we get out of balance on that, and it's too much food for the body and not enough for the spirit. Now, it's unlikely it's going to be the reverse. Physical food means nothing to demons. In fact, the Lord said it's like the pearl that the swine trample underfoot. It means nothing to them. But there is a food that they desire to be fed. Let us make sure it's not us that's feeding them. I say when he spoke to me that what I had done was feeding demons, it put fear in me. And I haven't done it again. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be feeding demons.
Amen.
I don't want to open the baby jar and spoon out the baby food to demons. Or anything like that. Now, Jesus described the main diet of demons. John 10:10, the thief comes, demons come, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Demons entice men to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because they're sustained by the byproducts that proceed from these three main courses. You know, the main courses, meal. They're sustained by them, the main courses of this wicked diet. The diet of demons is supplied by the aspects of stealing, killing, and destroying. All whatever that entails. Everything could come under that heading. Now, the fruit of righteousness, Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous. I don't know what you thought when you got saved. I don't know what you thought you were getting into, but I'll tell you what you had signed up for, and that's the chastening of the Lord.
Yeah.
And if we're not receiving that, I can tell you this. I must do a lot of work on me. Because he said every son he receives, he scourges or beats. And he beats me pretty good. I have no problem with that. Thank God, thank God.
Amen.
And it's not always what the devil stole from you. And you're going to go back and get it. You know, it's what's interesting to me is if he stole it in the first place and you let him steal it, then how are you going to go get it back? I know it sounds good. But a lot of it's not that the devil stole anything from you. We reap what we sow.
Yeah.
But now, no chastening for the present, discipline for the present time seems to be joyous. You know, my dad knew how to whip me. If they had CPS, then I'd have been foster care. I mean, really, I black and blue stripes from that belt that lasts for 2 weeks. And but then that, you know, they didn't do it. That's what was really hard. We had to dress out in gym. I grew up in Dallas, you know, had to put on those gym shorts, and there's my black and blue stripes. And the scripture says that they did it for their pleasure, what they thought was right. My dad would go in a rage and didn't know where to stop. But God does it for our profit. For our profit. You remember that when you're receiving the chastening of the Lord, it is for your profit.
Amen.
Young people, children, I want you to hear something. Your dad ain't got nothing over God when it comes to chastening. And as we heard from Brother Merrill, God knows how. God knows how. Well, praise God, and I'm thankful. Now, but never, it's grievous. It's not, no chastening for the present seems to rejoice, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Peaceful fruit of righteousness. If it's not peaceful, it's not righteous. Peaceful fruit of righteousness. You got road rage, it's not righteous. Okay, because it's not peaceful. In fact, the scripture says God hates violence. I do not understand Christians watching violent TV programs.
Amen.
How can you? God hates it.
Amen.
Now, peaceful fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. Thank God we're exercised thereby. Now, there are activities which produce a fruit or a food. And the fruit described here is the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Righteous activity, not just identified with righteousness and or a state of being, but the activity of being righteous, doing righteous things. If all you're doing is identifying, you ain't got nothing. You hear me tonight? I can identify with a dog, but that doesn't mean I am. We better be doing something. It's not just identifying. I'm trying to help. Deuteronomy 8:3, and God humbled you and permitted you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Now this is food, talking about here food for the body and the spirit, the manna, but then the word of God for the spirit. And God humbled you. Thank God he does. You know, he's not doing anything to us that he didn't receive himself. The scripture tells us that the Lord humbled himself in Philippians chapter 2, made himself of no reputation. And so he requires us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, here the scriptures tell us that the highest form of sustaining food for men is the living word of God. It's not that steak you had if you had one. The Lord Jesus repeated. Can you get a picture of that? Christians. Oh, I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings here. Christians overweight on physical food and starving on spirit as when it comes to spiritual food. Sitting there eating till they can't eat anymore. They're about to pop. Go back and get to see what else is in the refrigerator. But the Bible is it's got dust on it. And then wonder why we're in the condition we're in. Wonder why this nation's in the condition it's in. Now, the Lord repeated this information when he was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, it's written, he's speaking to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We're talking about food here. The Lord's talking about food for the spirit man. If a man's spirit is sustained by the bread or the fruit or the food of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which is true, then demon spirits are sustained by the bread of lies, which proceed out of the mouth of the father of lies. The Lord said he's the father of lies. Now everything is either the lie or truth. There's nothing in between. It's either the lie or it's the truth. There's no gray areas with God. Now, everything that we're looking at, thinking about, everything that we're confronted with is either the lie or truth. Now, it is the bread of the peaceful fruit of righteousness that man's to be sustained by, but demons are sustained by the bread of unrighteousness or unrighteous deeds. James 1:20, the scripture says, for the wrath, and that's the activities of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. Now the wrath or actions of man is the opposite of the peaceful fruit of righteousness, the peaceful actions of men. And we're, as much as lies within us, we're to be at peace with all men. Now, to give way and to yield to wrath feeds demons. When we sin, such as giving in to wrath, we supply food for demons. We express the attributes, when we express the attributes of the devil, we sin. Of course, you understand that. And all sin is fruit or food that demons gladly feed on. One night I heard a commotion out in my hen house. And I walked out there, and there was a possum. And man, they got some sharp teeth. You remember that?
Yeah.
And they do their stuff at night.
Yeah.
Well, I had a flashlight, and it shined over there, and that demon, that thing, is eating one of my hens. And the blood's running out of its mouth. It's feeding. That's a picture of a demon, you know. And it's feeding on my hand. Well, I didn't have a gun. I'm not a gun person. And I took a baseball bat and I ended that. I can do it. Well, I'll tell you why. You got to be serious, because one time I was living there before I moved. I was living there and I heard a commotion in the backyard. I went out there, so it was, and it was a possum. And so I got a stick and beat that thing. Well, you know what is it? What does a possum do? Well, it lays there like dead.
Yeah.
I went in the house. I took care of that one. And a little while, I hear a commotion.
Yeah.
Praise God. So when I do it, I do it good. He shed my hand's blood, he's going to shed his blood. And so praise God. Now, I've killed two with baseball bats, so don't mess with me. Yeah. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Now, if you can get that picture there of what's happening. Now, in Luke 11:24, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest. And binding none, he says, I will return to my house. Yeah, that's an awful description of yourself if the devil can call you his house. My house where I came out of. We're not playing games here, folks. This is not a game. This is not a video game and you turn it off when you poop. We're either the house of the Holy Spirit, the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We're the house of the devil. We're one or the other. I'm telling you, it's either lie or truth, and you're either the house of God or you're the house of the devil. And there's no neutrality in this thing. Now, demons are parasites that are fed or sustained by the sins or unrighteousness of men. Therefore, they need a sin-practicing host to live in and off of. Demons are parasites that prefer to live in a host. And they'll work to get to find one. And they're fed by the sin that their host is exercised by. Now, here's this one over here, exercised by the chasing of the Lord, and use a peaceful food, fruit of righteousness. But the devil's looking for a host that's exercised by sin. Or simply stated, they're sustained by the sinful practices of men. Every time we sin, we feed a demon. Demons take pleasure in the unholy emotions of man, such as excessive grief, discouragement, depression, fear, anxiety, tension, pressure, hopelessness, and negativity. They feed on that. Demons have an appetite for jealousy, envy, abusive behavior, anger, fighting, wars, wrath, hatred, violence, strife, road rage, contentions, you know, road rage. One time this person honked at me and I followed him. Isn't that stupid? I got my car and followed him. And I was following him. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I turned around and went back, you know. Well, praise God. Now, road rage, contentions, gossip, dissensions, pain, murder, and even suicide. Demons feed on it. You know, I even believe they get together and brag on what they did.
Amen.
Or what they did. You ate that? Well, I'm going to tell you what I ate. Because somebody fed it to me. Think about that. Next time you sin, you're feeding a demon. Demons thrive off of sexual lust, perversion, pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, rape, and child molesting. Demons love the taste of alcohol and beer, wine, whiskey. They thrill in the behaviors of those that results from drunkenness. I heard this on the news. One out of three deaths is a result of alcohol. Some way, one out of three. Our town, I don't live in the town, but all the towns around us in Northeast Texas, almost Texas, they're voting in alcohol.
Yeah.
I go in Walmart. I never thought I'd see this. All these years, you go in there and there for the 4th of July, the biggest display in the store was beer. Right, that big middle aisle, you know.
Yeah.
I want to run my buggy into it, see how many of those cans I can buzz. They say, oh my, you know. Folks, it's craziness. They're turning our downtown square of Sulphur Springs, and they're trying to make it into a bourbon street like New Orleans. That's what, I mean, they're really working to do it. Bars, you know, I mean, it's just unashamed. It's party time on the square. There's the next town on the other way is Commerce, Texas, Texas A&M University of Rancho. It's a very large university. I went there one night to pick up somebody needed to ride, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I drove through this square, and I said, my goodness, I never saw life like, well, it's not life, it's death, but all over that place. I mean, young people coming out of those bars so drunk they couldn't walk straight and there's not a policeman inside. Why? Because they're making money off of it. I'm going to tell you, they're going to make money off of selling it. The merchants are. Everybody's getting in on the tax thing. And then the law enforcement, last time I was here, my oldest grandson had an asthma attack. And after midnight, we're going down here trying to find something. Got right down to this intersection. They had a roadblock set up, seeing who was drunk. I mean, they're cashing in on it. And you got the judge, you got the lawyers, you got the jailers. I mean, it's a industry. Law enforcement has become an industry in this nation. I was sitting in the court one time for a friend. He went to our Christian school, and this boy, they arrested him for some stuff he did one night, and they'd arrest him for this part of it. His dad would bail him out. Then they'd arrest him for this part. His dad would bail him out. And finally, when his dad had no more money, they left him alone. And I was sitting in court, and he came to me. Wow, this is a business. That's what this is. And I'll tell you, we had, since I was here last time, I think it's since then, there's a couple in our church, and the man, his daughter, she's filing, anyway, she's trying to get custody. He had custody, and so she came to walk right in the church, right down the aisle over here. We have three rows of pews. Walk down the aisle, grabs that little girl. I'm saying, what is this? I didn't even know who she was. And I stood up and started pointing and praying. And some people in the church thought I was after them. But she walks out into the lobby, and his wife is holding their little boy. And she walks over and just whacks her in the face, knocks her on the floor, drags her outside, gets on top of her. And people see this. They call the law. You talk about messing up the church service. But they call the law out there. You know they wouldn't do a thing. Not one thing. Well, you should have kept her here. But if we'd have kept her there, somebody else would have been in jail, you know. But it's not justice. And if you don't have a lot of money, I didn't mean to get off here. If you don't have a lot of money or you don't know someone, you better know how to pray. You better know how to pray. Well, anyway, let's go here. What the demons, and demons love that? I'm going to shut up. But on that, now, demons also have a taste for drugs like tobacco, marijuana, heroin, cocaine, methamphetamines, prescription drugs of all varieties. Demons also enjoy indulging when their host goes out to party hardy, you know, or tattoos. They like that. Demons are gluttonous. They feed off of the gluttony of those addicted to food. And you folks, you're addicted to food. If you are, you're feeding the demons.
Amen.
And don't get mad at me. I've got to say something here. Our country's headed for trouble. You go in these stores and they're so big they can't waddle. And they're all riding these carts everywhere. And something's happening to our country. And all these people are going to end up, and it's going to bankrupt us financially.
Yes, amen.
And it's a sad thing. I don't want to say too much of that, but part of it is overeating. Part of it is eating genetically engineered food.
Right.
You know, wheat used to be 4 foot tall. It's genetically engineered. Now it's 18 inches tall. It's genetically engineered. Corn is. And that's enough of that. But no. I've been looking at heirloom seeds.
Yeah.
You can find out about that.
Yeah.
Praise God. So, now, demons feed on sorcery, idolatry, witchcraft, seances, fortune telling, Ouija boards, palm reading, horoscopes. They feed on it. Ghosts, the movies, these movies that are coming out now. Demons cannot physically sin, therefore they must have a host so that they can control or at least influence the sin, so they can eat. The purpose of demons controlling or influencing the person is so they can feed their own lust, the lust of those demons, and not go hungry. I haven't had a good meal in a long time, you know. Get somebody to do something. John 8:44, you're of your father, Jesus speaking, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You eat what he likes. Now, how demons procure food? Demons plant thoughts and suggestions in our mind and then lay out a plan for us to follow that will feed their lust and give them another fix. Demons have addictions that are satisfied by the behaviors of their host. Do you want to live your life for the purpose of feeding demons? Is that what you're about? Well, the next time you reach your hand out to touch the unclean thing, remember what you're doing. You're feeding the demon. I'll tell you, God told me that I was doing that. And it scared me. It costs to feed. Well, first of all, I said, can you visualize it by your sin? You're feeding the lust of a demon. It costs to feed a demon, and it's not free. If we feed a demon, it'll turn and bite the hand that feeds it. That's your hand. Those bites become infected. They're contagious. They'll infect others, like the root of bitterness. Those bites leave scars or marks upon a life. I was in the church parking lot a couple of 3 weeks ago, and I saw this truck go by, and they slowed down, and they rolled the window down. I thought, oh, I don't know what they want. And they pulled in the parking lot, rolled the window down. I walked over there, and I looked in there, and I said, who is this? I don't know who in the world was. It's a lady that was in our church 36 years ago, and I came there, and I've seen them on and off. And I figured out it's a lady, but she had no hair. I'll tell you, it was a pitiful, sad sight. She has lung cancer. She's been feeding demons. I didn't even know she smoked. I did not know she did it so well. She can't hide it now. And she said, and I talked to her a long time. I tried to encourage her. You see, she was feeding the demon and it bit the hand that fed her. And before she finished, she said, Brother Henson, she said, I'm so glad you were here. She said, if you hadn't been standing here when I came by, I was going to do something to myself. She's so discouraged. You know, she said, at first my children and all, they came around and now they're going back to their lives. And she was so down. She knows what she's facing. It's sad, folks. You think about that. You say, well, you sure are hard on tobacco. It's interesting to me. You can go to the doctor and the doctor tell you to quit smoking. You don't get mad at him. But you let the preacher tell you to quit smoking. And he's meddling and you're mad at him. Or any of those things. These bites identify us and they mark us for life, like it marked this lady. But praise the Lord, the blood of Jesus can heal every bite of a demon. Now, demons need a home or a host, Matthew 12:43. We read a part of this one ago. When the unclean spirit, the demon, is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest. He's walking, seeking whom he may devour. He's a roaring lion, and he finds none. Then he said, I will return to my house or my host from where I came out. Now those are almost the same words the prodigal son said in the swine pen, isn't it? I will return. Now which will it be for us? Are we going to have demons returning to us? Or are we going to return to the Father's house? Are they going to return to our house? Or are we going to return to his house? And when he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished or decorated. Then he goes and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell or live there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, why do we think that a demon wants to live in a man, woman, or child? When a demon is dislodged from a host or his house, that unclean spirit finds itself in desolate and dry regions. Because without a dwelling place in the bosom of men, it's lacking an opportunity for feeding on evil. When the evil spirit's gone out of a man, it begins to seek rest. Because it has no rest so long as it dwells outside of a man, woman, or child. For demons, rest is only possible as it consoles itself by satisfying its lust through a host mind and body. Now, when an unclean spirit or a demon is without a host or house, it's displeased, it's hungry, it's tormented. And it does not cease to labor until it can find a host so that it can recover the refreshment it's lost. A fallen, corrupt spirit can have no rest, we're talking about demons, except in a polluted, sinning human heart. An unclean spirit cleaves to an unclean heart. You don't just have a little demon problem. You hear? This is not a game. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but sometimes, well, I got some more deliverance. You better get it all. You better get serious about this. We all have. When I say you, you know I'm talking about myself. I'm sorry. I try so hard not to say you. We, you know, but okay, it's you. A demon that has been dislodged is resolved to increase his power of wicked influences and entrench himself by returning to his host with more others more wicked than himself. The number 7 here that the Lord uses means a sufficient number of wicked parasites to completely occupy and harass the soul of his host. One time I watched a documentary on a program in Africa where they were dealing with worms that people had. It was gross. I'm telling you, it was gross. And they're pulling these out of the wounds in their legs and different parts of the body, and they're pulling these long worms out. That's called a parasite. Do you like the thought that you could be a parasite to the devil? You'd be better off with one of those worms than with him. Now, the parasite feeds off of its host. You know, do you know mistletoe is a parasite? That's right. You know, kissing under the mistletoe, under a parasite. Whatever turns you on. I shouldn't say that, No. Now, to be... they'll kill a tree eventually. There's nothing up in there. To be empty, swept, and decorated is not... You know you can't see them in the summertime. You can't. In wintertime, the leaves are going, wow. You know, I didn't know all that is up there. The Word of God's like that. You know, it'll peel back and you can see things that you didn't know were there. To be empty, swept, and decorated is no more than being reformed. In Romans 10, he says, they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You and I are one of two of these. We're either establishing our own righteousness, writing our own Bible, our own plan of salvation, our own rules, whatever. We write our own. Everybody in here is doing it. Everyone. It's just like I'm preaching this sermon. Everyone in here is interpreting it the way you want to. Unless the Holy Spirit's helping. You can preach on holiness, and one person's thinking about the inward, and the other's thinking about how long your sleeve is supposed to be and how long your hair is supposed to be.
That's true.
It's the way it is. So we all write our own Bible, mostly by eliminating a lot of it. You know, we write our own doctrine. We do that, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You better be writing it with fear and trembling. Better make sure it's the truth we all have. Now, it's no more than being reformed or established. We're either an establisher or a submitter. Self-righteousness is an establisher, but the soul is empty of the Holy Spirit. It may... I listen to some of my friends sometimes that are... I don't say what denomination is. Oh, we had so many people commit themselves to Christ. So many people come into faith. So many people walked out. Okay, that's wonderful. I'll tell you what, if they don't get the Holy Ghost, they ain't going to make it. They're not. And I don't know where this some kind of optional thing came in here somewhere where you can be saved, but you don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Where'd that come from? It's not scriptural. It was expected. That New Testament, there's one thing that's expected in that New Testament after the day of Pentecost. If you got saved, you got filled with the Holy Spirit. That was expected. And so it's not said so much because it was expected that that's what it's going to be, praise God. It wasn't this division, this optional thing that we see now. Now, to be swept from the filth of sins. You know, sin is filthy. It's not funny. It's not cute. And decorated with the paint of religion are some habits of moral virtue. But none of these will keep the devil out. It won't keep the devil out. I tell you, there's some deacons on church boards. There's some pastors. There's some little old lady saints that are so full of the devil. And I'm sorry. You don't believe that? Just sit in their pew. Get there before they do and sit down in their pew and see what they got in them. Or don't let them sing. Or don't call them to take the offer. Or don't let them get voted in on to some position. See what they got in them. The fact that his former house is empty is very inviting to the original demon. This is a warning that deliverance by itself is not enough. But we must replace any departed demons with the Word of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of other believers. I heard that since we've been here. So you come and get delivered. That we should, we need to. But you have to. This Jesus has told us we have to replace that vacuum, that void.
Yeah.
Or we're going to be worse than we were.
That's right.
Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of other believers, and you have to be selective there. To be delivered and free from an unclean spirit results in a vacuum that must be filled. It's often filled with one or more demons. I realized this somewhere back there. Being a pastor, I've had to go to court a lot and be a witness or testify. You know, that just goes with it. I don't like it. But you have to. And you're going to make somebody mad when you do. But it came to me one time. In fact, I told one of our judges this. I said, there's more lies told in this courtroom than are anywhere in this county.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Just flat out lies. I know. I've heard them. Lies. And there's a lot of lies told in the house of God. There's a lot of demons come to the house of God.
Yes,
well, a church. There's one, I don't remember who he was. He would call steeple houses. He wouldn't call the house of God. There was steeple houses. Any attempt at neutrality ends with the coming in of the equivalent of seven demons are not sufficient to control, so that the person finishes in a worse state than the first. Jesus said more evil than himself. This shows us that all demons are wicked, but they're not all equally wicked. These demons enter in and dwell there, meaning they take up their permanent abode there. Is this anything we think we might be interested in? It's something you want to do, be a part of. Well, quit feeding them. You know, oh, my little personal demon, what do you want to eat today? Are there any demons in us? Not every sin is the result of a demon living in us. You hear this now. I believe that before we attempt to seek deliverance, we must first repent of our sins, demons or no demons. Even if our sinful practice is not a case of demon possession, still our sin is the doing of the lust of the devil. It's feeding demons. Next, before we ask for a prayer of deliverance, we must crucify our flesh with its affections and lusts. See, I figured this out. I'm getting smarter as I get older. I figured this out. People are a whole lot ready to get in a prayer line and have somebody lay hands on them and do it for them. You cast that thing out for them. So they don't have to deal with it. Command that demon, it's easier to command the demon to leave than to crucify our flesh. But if we're walking in the flesh instead of in the Holy Spirit, all deliverance sessions in the world are not going to cure our sin and problem.
Right. Amen.
I've heard some say, the same people come back, you know. Please don't misunderstand. And I know some people need more help than others. I'm not belittling that. I have compassion. Some people really do need a lot of help. I know people like that. And I want to be patient with them. But, you know, after a while, you begin to wonder, is this person serious? Do they really mean business with God? It's almost like the blood of Jesus is anemic, or, you know, there's no power in the blood of Jesus. Now, it's easier to blame a demon for our sin rather than take personal responsibility for our behavior. You know, Flip Wilson, was that his name?
Yeah.
Used to say, the devil made me do it. Isn't that convenient? The devil made me do it. He gets blamed for some things he didn't do. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abides in him and looked in Christ sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Now this signifies that for those who practice sin, the Holy Spirit is not revealing Christ in them. Has not seen him. It's not working. It's not there. The Holy Spirit's not revealing Christ. Even as the Scripture says, John 16:14, the Holy Spirit shall receive a mind and show it or reveal it to you. So if we're not seeing him, then we need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You're not going to get filled with the Holy Spirit until you repent. Because that's what he said on the day of Pentecost. He said on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:18. Repent and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, you shall see me because I go to my Father. Jesus said, you'll see me. Now verse 7, little children, 1 John 3, little children, let no man deceive. This, well, I'll tell you what, there have been times in my life I didn't enjoy reading 1 John 3. It's pretty strong, folks.
Yeah.
I used to go to where my parents lived, and I'd go there, and the church there, and they'd pray this prayer all the time, and forgive us of our many sins wherein we have sinned. They memorize that. And you hear, and forgive us our many sins wherein we have sinned. And so after a while I said, you know, I believe 1 John 3 has something to say about that. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness, not just identifies with it, but does righteousness, even as he's righteous. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil. Oh, forgive us of our many sins wherein we have sinned. But he that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now some take comfort in thinking that they are a Christian with just having a little demon problem, when in fact they're of the devil. They're not a Christian at all.
Thank you.
Sorry. If we claim to be a Christian, yet we practice sin, do we really think that this is the purpose of Christ being manifested in us? For this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. It's not the purpose that we continue sin. His purpose is to destroy all the works of the devil and his demons. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his sin remains in him. And there's an old song, he'll understand and say, well done. Oh, wow. And he'll understand all right. He understands real well. And he's not going to say, well done. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness as actions is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. Now, if we're not practicing sin, then we're not feeding demons. We don't have a demon. You hear me? If we're not practicing unrighteousness, then we don't have a demon. In his seed, what is that seed? His seed remains and he cannot sin. That's the food of God. The food of God, oh, praise God. It's so neat, the Lord showed me this. In his, because I've wondered about that all so long, you know. Is his seed or his food remaining in us? If so, we cannot commit sin because sin is no longer our food. Our food is the Word of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can't sin. We don't need that other food. Praise God. What are we feeding off of? And because we do not feed off of sin, then the demons will flee. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. They'll flee because they do not want to be hungry. They want to be fed with unrighteousness, and they're not going to hang around you if they can't get something. Jesus said the devil came and found nothing in him. I'm not feeding him. So he went on. So if you got a lot of demon company, then it says something about you, doesn't it? I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Praise God. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, or feed on Christ, Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now all that an unclean spirited demon wants to do satisfies lust. But it must accompany this through a vessel or a host or a house. A physical body. Just as the Holy Spirit must have a vessel, a physical body, to do the will of God through. But the Holy Spirit's not a parasite. This is why we must flee youthful lusts, for by them we open ourselves up to unclean and perverted spirits. The Holy Spirit has only holy desires. And he must have someone to live in to accomplish those holy desires. Someone to live in. And also, we live and move and have our being in him. The demons give us revelations and power to do the desires of the devil, just like the Holy Spirit gives us revelations and power to do the desires of the will of God. Demons enjoy and feed off of afflicted bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you not that your body is the temple or the house or the host of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and that you have a God, you're not your own. That's something we're going to have to understand. Everyone in here has to say, we're not our own. You do what you want to, you don't belong to him. We are not our own. How dare we complain? We heard that. How dare we complain? We're not our own. I hear some talking and I want to stop. Thank you. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify or express God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. How can we glorify God in our body if we're feeding demons with the actions of our body? How can we glorify God in our spirit? He said our body and our spirit, we're feeding demons with our spirit, which is our thoughts, our attitudes, our opinions, and our desires. When we ask for forgiveness, we're asking God to forgive us for feeding demons and their desires. Now, feeding demons in other people. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest to me. I would, unless you read the Bible, you never heard the part I'm reading here. You turn the TV on to the prosperity preacher, what part are you going to hear? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But like there's not the rest of this verse here. Because you've rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And we're all supposed to be priests to him. And since you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And that's certainly true of this nation. I'll forget your children. And by the way, the nations forget God, he'll turn into hell. The more they're increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. And they are greedy or lusting for their iniquity or their lawlessness. I'm talking about feeding demons. These words that the Holy Spirit gave to Hosea concerning feeding the demons in others, their diet of sin. And they're very similar to the words the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul, Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are evil. Now again, if you listen to the prosperity preachers, you'd think that the destroyed for the lack of knowledge, that what they're saying is a lack of knowledge concerning their private interpretation of prosperity and successful living. But obviously, when we read the whole verse, we see the real meaning of the lack of knowledge. The knowledge of God which people put out of their minds, they reject it so they can feed demons with their sin. I tell you what, it's hard to pray in the Holy Ghost and cuss at the same time. The more people, the more God's people increase in wealth, power, education, or dignity, the more they abuse God's blessings against him. God didn't give you those things to use against him, to feed demons with. It's the race down to see who's got the biggest screen. And football diamonds and then people's houses too. Football fields, and houses too. I'm amazed, You go to some people that, wow, look at that thing. Taking God's money and spending it on that. That's right. Wasting God's money. Feeding demons with it. Churchgoers doing it. You buy beer, you're feeding demons. That's just one example. Now, when we read the whole verse, we see the real meaning of this lack of knowledge. The knowledge of God which people put out of their minds so they can feed demons. Now, 2 Chronicles 32, 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again, or did not repay according to the benefit done to him. For his heart was lifted up in pride, therefore there was wrath on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. Now waxen fat and kicking, Deuteronomy 32:15. But Jeshurun, that's God's beloved righteous one, waxed or grew fat and kicked. You waxed fat, you grew thick, you became obese. Then he forsook God, who made him, and scoffed at the rock, that's Christ, of his salvation. They stirred him, God, up to jealousy with strange gods and abominable practices that provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, fed demons, which are no gods. You don't have to make a little altar and sacrifice an animal on it to feed demons, folks. To gods they had never known, to new gods that came of late, whom your father had never feared. You were unmindful of the rock that beget you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. This is a picture of those that we help when they're small, unknown, in need, and when their situation is improved, they forget you or even turn on you. I knew a preacher lady and a pastor, and she helped this lady get saved, fill the Holy Ghost, and just worked with her, gave her a place to live, and even sold her an acre right beside her house. And one day this lady came to her and said, I could tell you the names, came to her and said, you know, I passed you. And I don't need you anymore, and I'm going on my own now. She helped her. She brought her up. This is what they do. And so one Saturday afternoon is talking across the fence there between them, this property that sold them, helped them build a house. Said, you're not going to open a church. I said, oh, no, there would. The next morning, Sunday morning, she opened the church and emptied out the other lady's church that helped. Well, unthankful, unappreciative people do the same thing to God. The more they increase, the more they sin against me. And here's a list of the sort of sins they fed on after they increased in the blessings of God. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, their whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Now they get on the phone. Did you know? You need to know this so you can pray about it. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh man, we got a lot of that now. A lot is electronic. This will be that the parents is undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now listen to this. Who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We're talking about feeding the demons and other people. Have pleasure in them that do it. So you may not just be feeding your own demons, but you're feeding other people's demons. They know a good restaurant. As they increase in sin, they become so drunk on their sin, they don't really care what God or anyone else thinks about them and their sins. You can come to that place. They feed on their sins, the sins of others, who do the sins they enjoy. This is a picture of Christians. I got that quotation. Sitting in front of their TV, enjoying and feeding on the same sins listed in Romans 1. How can you do that? How can you sit there and watch blood and guts and gore and sex and cussing? How can you do that and call yourself a Christian? Well, I'm not doing it. You're taking pleasure in others that do it. Why are you watching it if you don't like it? When I was young, and growing up in Dallas in church there, a man, he'd get up and he'd start preaching against TV sets. And I tell you, the TV set, black and white then, nothing going on. And all you could just tell, people getting upset and offended. Are you offended what I'm saying right now? And it wasn't even, and look at it now, nobody says anything now. In fact, they come to church, did you see the latest CSI? Is that what it's called? Yeah. CSI, something like that? CSI. Oh, wow. One time somebody had it on, and they're going in this awful place where people dress awful, doing awful things. And you're going to sit there and watch that? Are you going to sit there and watch that? You going to beat demons? We're without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
That's right.
And that's not holy. Would you let those people come in your house and do those things? Oh, no. I'll never let that go in my mind. Well, you're doing it. They're in your house and they're doing it. And you're watching it. Why don't you just go down the whorehouse and peek in the window? I want you to make heaven. I want to make heaven. Praise God. I turned off that satellite TV. It's so much better. Praise God. There really is life after TV, you know that? There really is. Praise God. They watch, they earnestly desire, they hope, they expect people will sin. In fact, they teach and help people to sin so they can feed on those sins all the time, feeding demons. I remember when I was in high school in Dallas, the biggest girl fight would bring the biggest crowd. I mean, pulling that hair and pulling clothes off, you know, and all that. And if they wasn't fighting hard enough, they'd push them into each other. What were they doing? Taking pleasure. Taking pleasure. If you listen to gossip, you're taking pleasure. Now, people without the knowledge of God, some once did have this knowledge, don't realize they're feeding demons by practicing these sins. They take pleasure in others feeding demons. Romans 16:18. For such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. Their own appetites. We must understand that many have an appetite for sin. They feed on sin, and so do demons. You've got to be careful what you tell people. What kind of language you use, how descriptive you are, those sort of things. Romans 6:21. There was a preacher, evangelist, came through, and he was at one time kind of a gangster, I guess, you know, and doing some really bad things. And he told his testimony. You ever notice how the big crowds come to hear those testimonies? Sports heroes and former drug addicts, and you let this little old saint that never did any of that get up and preach and nobody cares and wants to hear it. He had three sons. And he told me, he said, God convicted him. He noticed that his sons were sitting there and just feeding on it. I'm just sucking it up. And it's whoa. So he quit doing it. And his sons got mad, got angry with their dad. Dad, why don't you tell it? Why? They were feeding on it. Feeding on that. I don't allow that kind of testimony in my church. Romans, the only testimony that's worth anything is look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Not look what I used to do in sin. Amen. Romans 6:21, what fruit? That's food to feed on. Did you have then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit or food to feed on in holiness. Oh, hallelujah. And the end is everlasting life. What are you feeding on? For the wages or the food to feed on of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is serious business. No man sins alone. No man sins alone. We either gather with Christ, that's what the Lord said, we either gather with Him or we scatter abroad. Where are you feeding demons? Would you bow your heads, please? Praise God. Are you feeding demons? I know I don't do this exactly like others do this, but please, this is what the Lord's given me to do. And God, would you deal with our hearts tonight? Would you deal with our hearts? Forgive me for feeding demons, Lord. Oh, God, forgive me. How foolish, how wasteful, how corrupt and polluted, how dirty and filthy. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Lord, for scattering instead of gathering with you. We're living in a wicked time, folks. Sin's abounding. That means that, you know what it means? Sin's abounding? It means that demons are getting fat because there's so much for them to feed on. Holy Spirit, deal with our hearts. There's some here that you have been feeding demons. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you thought you're just messing up. Well, and there's forgiveness in Christ. Thank God there is. There's restoration in Him. But we've got to quit feeding demons. We can't serve the table of the Lord and serve the table of devils at the same time. My God, Lord, we've been working against you instead of for you. We've been emboldening demons, helping them, making them fat, strengthening them when we should have been strengthening the work of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, God. Let your sweet Holy Spirit come in here tonight. God, you don't hate us. You want to help us. You want us to quit doing that. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let all such activity cease. And let it not be once named among us as becoming saints. Back how many times I've fed demons. I mean, really fed them. Oh, God, God, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Santa la gloria na la 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 la. Oh, love of Santa la 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 gloria na la. There's coming an end to all of this. There's coming an end. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, every time I speak in tongues or you speak in tongues, we feed our spirit man. We edify, we feed our spirit man. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Have you fed your spirit man today? Have you fed him? Have you prayed in the Holy Ghost today? Hallelujah. If we pray in the Holy Ghost more, we wouldn't feed demons so much. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We have a little time here, some time. And if you want prayer, you'll come. I'll pray for you. I'll try to get to everyone I can. If you want to turn around and kneel where you're sitting, if you want to sit there and pray, but let's don't talk, let's don't visit. Give the Holy Spirit some time this afternoon. Give the Holy Spirit some time, praise God. Give him space, praise God. He gave us space to repent. Let's give him space to work in our life, praise God. Hallelujah. You want prayer, you'll come. Hallelujah, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.